really tough, I can imagine, if you do have friends or family in Victoria right now. I don't think the Premier even put a date on when we would open up our borders to Victoria. I think it will be quite some time away, but he says Tasmania is the safest place on earth right now. Well, I think that's what he said, safest place on earth. Sounds about right anyway. At 17 past five, Lucy Braden with you on Drive. Rob Pennicott was speaking there about JobKeeper and how that has helped his business stay afloat. But what's it going to mean when it is wound back in the months ahead and then, I guess, completely stopped in the years to come? If you're a business operator, how does that make you feel? Maybe if you work at a business that does rely on JobKeeper. 1300 222 936. You are going to hear in just a moment from Bill Lang, the Executive Director of Small Business Australia.
It's so cold!
Winter is here. Most of us can flick the chill with a switch or a match. Not so for some. At ABC Radio Hobart, we're asking Tasmanians to get knitting needles at the ready and knit squares for our Rug Up Tassie appeal. You knit the squares and we'll have our trusty volunteers stitch the squares into blankets to help keep those in need warm this winter. Visit abc.net.au/Hobart for specs.
Keeping you entertained and informed. Lucy Braden on ABC Radio Hobart.
19 past five. Well, as you have heard over the past week, JobKeeper has been extended beyond September, but it's taking a different form. It's going into a two-tiered system. It will be rolled back as well, and then there will be more changes from January next year. What does Bill Lang think about that, the Executive Director of Small Business Australia? How are small businesses coping right now? Bill, hello. Thanks for your time.
Oh, g'day, Lucy. Thanks for the opportunity to have a chat with you and your listeners.
So we know that JobKeeper has been extended beyond September. Is Small Business Australia happy about that?
Oh, look, absolutely. It's been an important contribution from the federal government to almost 900,000 small businesses and 3.5 million employees, over the last 4 months. And it was good to hear that, albeit the changes are being made, that it will still be in place in different formats, potentially for another 8 months from now. So that's positive news, particularly if your business will be able to qualify for it.
What does it take for a business to qualify?
Yeah, the sort of JobKeeper 1.0, your business needed to have a reduction in revenue of at least 30%. And for those businesses that had a 30% or more drop in revenue. So some businesses in some states had a 100% drop in revenue. They were not allowed, due to the management of the pandemic, to actually open up at all. But of course, there are others that may have only had a 25% drop and were ineligible. Going forward, there's a number of different sort of definitions yet to be a bit clarified, but it'll now be more around, have you had this drop of 30% for a couple of quarters in a row or a couple of three-month periods? And the ATO commissioner then has some discretion around how that might actually be applied.
Yeah, it sounds like it will be tough and maybe, pretty tricky for some businesses to deal with that. What is the feedback that you are getting at the moment right across the country?
Oh, look, it varies state by state. So, of course, the businesses here in Victoria, where our headquarters are, in the Melbourne area in particular, there are, 350,000 plus small businesses have again had to effectively temporarily close. So very different reactions, a lot of concern in terms of what's going on here and how long it might last for and the implications. Things are different in Queensland. Things are different, of course, in Tasmania. So it varies by state and location, varies by the sector that you're in. A lot of people's confidence has been really shot with this. And I think another implication that people are starting to think about is, well, if there's 3.5 million people that were getting JobKeeper 1.0 and the government's, forecasting that there could be, a couple of million people come off that, it's not just the impact on, the business's ability to employ some of those people, but the people that will go from JobKeeper to JobSeeker will be getting less money, and that then filters through also in terms of, well, what have they got to be spending on that they need in terms of living? So, this thing keeps rolling on. There's multiple levels. A major area of concern, and it was very interesting listening to what Rob had to say. say that you had on just before you and I talking, that, you know, some businesses won't make it. And one of the big questions and areas that Small Business Australia is looking for the government to take some very practical action in is if your business has to close ultimately because of COVID and the implications of COVID, that business owner is effectively being put out of business because of the changes made to the economy. How do we ensure that person doesn't potentially become bankrupt and have all the different consequences associated with bankruptcy take place? We're hardly all in this together if, in fact, you know, a certain part of the economy in terms of small businesses of a certain size can't make it and potentially the owner has to go bankrupt.
And when it comes to staff who want to find jobs, we're hearing that there's, like, I think, and don't quote me on this, but like one job for around 25 to 30 people, which is so tough right now for those who just want to get back into the workforce.
Yeah, look, and I heard a number, something around like 1 to 13, I think, from someone on television a couple of days ago. It's going to be difficult. I'd encourage all of your listeners that, you know, face that situation to be staying to think about what training, what skills can they be developing that relate to particularly the jobs of the future? Because there's certain things that have changed now in terms of people, you know, customers' confidence in using the internet, buying things over the internet, having things delivered. You may not be able to have the same number of customers, you know, back into your restaurant or cafe, you know, that you were having 6 months ago. So the implications of those things, say, well, where, what skills will be needed by these businesses? And clearly anything to do with digital and digital business is an area for people to start retraining in. I'd also be encouraging people to start thinking about how can they get their own little business going in some way. What service could they be providing rather than having to depend upon an employer having a business, you know, of a size where they can provide that form of employment. So, look, it's grim and, you know, not in a Cape Grim sort of way in terms of high quality, but, you know, again, I heard, you know, Rob say about Tasmanians and how resilient Tasmanians are, and I think that applies to all Australians. We've got plenty of opportunities to find out things that we can get better at, that we can learn how to do, to have a go at doing some things ourselves, getting our own little businesses going, finding some ways of getting some part-time opportunities to work. Encouraging everyone to adopt that mindset.
I do appreciate the Tasmanian reference there, Cape Grim. Delicious water, beef. when it comes to Tasmania, Bill, do you have any statistics there on how we are doing?
Look, not that I can speak to specifically, but having spent a lot of time in Tasmania and a lot of time in terms of around the country with respect to the tourism industry, of course, we've got a reduction in the number of international tourists to the country overall, and Tasmania had been doing particularly well with Chinese tourists and also with Chinese students. So there's been a major reduction. If you just think about the economy there, that income not coming in as it was coming in 12 months or so ago. You know, I'm based here in Melbourne. You know, the Premier of Tasmania, you know, and he really can't say at this point in time how long it might be until, you know, Victorians are allowed back into Tasmania, but we love coming down to Tasmania. And you know, as soon as you know, we get things more under control here and we see the curve flattening down, we would hope for the sake of all businesses and particularly those in Tasmania that the borders are reopened up and business can start flowing again from that perspective. Because, you know, I love having a New Year's Eve down there in Hobart and be very sad if I can't get down there again this next one.
I know. Well, I don't know what we will necessarily have to offer you here. Falls Festival cancelled, taste is going to look quite different. So it will certainly be a very different New Year's Eve festival right across the country, I dare say. Bill, before I let you go, how are you coping in Melbourne? What's going on? It must look so different there right now.
Yeah, well, look, the good news today in Melbourne is that the sun's shone most of the day. I've actually just been out for a bit of a walk around my local neighbourhood. Everyone's wearing masks. You know, again, you'll see on the media from time to time some real outliers in terms of what's going on, but everyone I saw was wearing masks. Things are very quiet. People are, you know, going, getting out and about to the supermarkets and things where they need to. And, you know, everyone's paying attention to, you know, what the daily numbers are. I think yesterday the Premier announced, the Premier of Victoria, there were 25,000 tests, and the results of those tests were 300 people positive. So just to put that into context, that's a bit over 1% of the people tested. So that's not a big number. And while we hear about the growth in these numbers, then we play that through to what percentage ultimately end up in hospital, and unfortunately some end up in ICU and some pass away. In the great context of things, with all death rates and causes of deaths and things, of course we haven't seen anything like what's happened in some other countries. you know, one of the key things that we're encouraging everyone and the small businesses out there have been doing a great job there, ensuring their staff are well trained, that they're, you know, putting in place things like helping people, customers keep their hands clean, ensuring they're a couple of arms apart. Buy local is another big thing. And whether that's from, you know, local businesses that are in your local neighbourhood, and of course in Tasmania, you guys have always supported your Tasmanian businesses, and we in Victoria have supported businesses like Cape Grimm. So fortunately, when I walked past my delicatessen, I noticed it was still in there here in Carlton.
Oh, that is so good to hear. And Bill, I don't know why, but I've become obsessed with asking anyone that I interview who lives in Melbourne what colour their mask is. Have you opted for something like a bit edgy or just gone for the, you know, the surgical style?
I actually have one with a sulphur crested cockatoo on it, and her name is Bing Bang.
Oh my gosh, you've even named her. I love that.
Well, she's quite famous, Bing Bang, in China. So she has her own WeChat account up there and talks about all the great places to come and visit in Australia. So, yep, no, we've got Bing Bang on the mask, Lucy.
Oh, good to hear. Bill, look after yourself. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
Bill Lang there, Executive Director of Small Business Australia, talking about how tough it will be in the months ahead for businesses to stay afloat right now.